Like
theories on darkness. What?
After experiencing it last night.
After experiencing it.
Or not.
Light in the middle of darkness.
As it were.
So why are you so much in the morning right
now?
No, that was from your website.
Oh, why was I up?
Yeah.
Well, somebody came to talk to me, and then I was thinking about it for the rest of the night.
Wow.
Wow.
Not that deliberately. It wasn't like any kind of act of righteousness. Just Bal Korchach. Okay. Let's just tie it all up here in the next few minutes. What do we say so far? We let's try to understand what it really means. You know, all these things, these esoteric ideas that I put forth. They have to come down to earth, otherwise they're worthless almost. So, so let's try to bring it down. Asiya, right? So let's try to bring it down. So one of the points that we made was that it's perforce that Geulas Mitzrayim had to come from Golos Mitzrayim. That was one of the forces, one of the perforces that we put forth. And so it was. I gave many examples of how it's only every time there's a geula, it always comes through and from and after the darkness. So I don't know if we have clear yet, even though I brought many proofs to this, I don't know if we have clear yet why that is and what it means. So that was one point. Another point, which is a natural extension of that, was the point of matzah itself, which was a case of the matzah being a seemingly non-celebratory object, meaning something that was a sign of slavery in Egypt, right? It was a sign of slavery in Egypt, and that sign of slavery itself became the symbol of freedom. If you want to make a flag for freedom or a logo for freedom, the thing you use is a matzah, even though the matzah that we had for the majority of the matzah that we ate during the time of Pesach Mitzrayim was nightmarish. It was a symbol of slavery. So we spoke about the fact that just like Yisrael was impressed with the fact, he was impressed with God specifically regarding the fact that B'davar Asher Zadu Aleihem, that the Egyptians saw the downfall of the Jewish people coming with water. Everybody knows the Rashi. They thought that what it means is the astrologers saw that the downfall of the Jewish people is going to be with water. So this is the problem with astrology. Right. See, the problem with astrology is always interpretation. There's two problems with astrology. Number one is we learned it's in the world of Yetzira. It's not in the world of Atzilus. So it means that it's not straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a force of astrology. It's like in the world of Bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Malachim. In the world of Yetzira, which is one world closer to us, Hashem made constellations from which he created mazalos. And these mazalos have some control over the world for the goyim. Remember we learned a lot about this. Did we learn about this? About the goyrel? We were talking about the difference on Purim between a goyrel and a nevuah. So the goyrel is something we learned that goes straight up above the Ma'ein Mazel Yisrael means that it's funny because if you talk about spinning dice, which is what Haman did, if you talk about spinning dice, so you usually think about it as luck, like Mazel.
Right.
But it's actually according to the Torah the opposite of Mazel. What it is direct communication, direct control by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the opposite of Mazel.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
After this course, the mazel, ein mazel Yisrael, means that we're not under. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a number of different control systems in the world, Malachim and Mazolos and many hundreds of others, and we're not under Ein Mazal Yisrael. What Hashem said to Abraham was, "Vayotze yotze achutza, say meitz tagninu shalcha." You know, enough with the Mazolos. That's not for you any longer. You can go one step further. Go direct. So it's a tremendous privilege that we have, that we're able to speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's get things done that way. You know, it's. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, there's. Like sometimes you go through the system. You know.
Sometimes they come and there's the override key.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to go through the system. You know, you got to go through the system. There's just no way. You're looking for some kind of pull or protexia, as they call it in this country. And you want to just get out of the system. Let's say this country, the system is particularly harsh. So if you have to go through the system, so you know you really get bogged down with the system. But the system is the system; it's there for a reason. So the person that can go straight above the system, right over the system, meaning like your father is the prime minister or something like that. So you know, so he's a huge international thief. You know, didn't get in trouble because he doesn't go through the system. You know, they tried, but you can't deal with the system when you're on top of the system. You can only deal with the system when you're under the system. So Ein Mazal Yisrael means that we can go above the system. So, that's the our ability to go direct. But what we learned is that what B'davar Hashizadu, keep my train of thought here, but what Yisrael was impressed with was the fact that the astrologers saw something. They saw that within the system, the Jews are going to their downfall is going to be with water. So they immediately assumed that they should drown every Jewish kid that's born, and they even drowned, by the way, their own kids, just in case, because in the house of Pharaoh, it wasn't clear if this kid is going to be an Egyptian or if this kid is going to be a Jew. Whoa. You know, there was another thing that they saw. So, because Moshe was like neither here nor there. I mean, he was a Jew, obviously, but he grew up in an Egyptian house. Well, they didn't. You know, there was the problem with this astrology thing. Even if you want to go in the system, is requires an interpretation. And their interpretation is not necessarily correct, even though what they see might be correct. So what they see is, well, is it an Egyptian? Is it a Jew? We better drown everybody. So they start drowning, according to Medrash, they're drowning their own kids too, which is also a crime. Yeah, it's also a crime. So then they had the what was the downfall of the Egyptians? The downfall of the Egyptians was with water. So what Yisro saw over here was not just, I'm going to say something like deeper than Mida Keneged Mida. You got what you deserved. No, it's a little bit deeper than that. That for all those years, the water was the symbol of downfall for the Jewish people. They didn't like to look at water. You know, I was once walking with somebody on the boardwalk in New York, and we came to the water. To me, it was like the most beautiful thing. It was night. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and you know, you see this water. And this person said to me, you know, I get very depressed when I see this. So I said, what is he depressed? It seems so, you know, final, like we're at the end of the world, you know, like you go out there, there's nothing out there. Like, so, you know, I never like looking at water again. Like, really, like, you know, no, the truth is I love water. But
yeah, or you can see it as a beginning.
A beginning or a vast frontier. And there's so many different ways of looking at things. So that when the Jews looked at water, they saw downfall. They saw the kids drowning. They saw what was really taking place there in the stars was the name Meriva. Right? The Moshe's downfall was with the stone and the water. That he hit the stone. That's what they saw. But so they saw something. It's interesting. They saw something, wow. But they didn't know what they saw. They didn't. So you know. So after killing 60,000 Jewish kids, you know, oops, we saw that wrong. There's a machlokas in the Medrash whether it was 60,000 or a few. I mean, there's like a big machlokas in the Medrash.
There are also people that no one actually died. That they all came to the other side.
Never heard such an opinion.
Yeah, so they all voices and they were all turf, and they were all, and then they had a rock. They had two rocks, and like one was high, and one was low.
It's in the Medrash says.
Which Medrash do you think? I don't know. Which is
the wrong. Different opinions, I guess. But any case, it was a nightmare. What it says in the Chumash is that they killed the Jews. This isn't the Chumash, right? They killed Jewish kids. It says so. It became a symbol of darkness. Became a symbol of darkness. The water, and all of a sudden, when what happened with the water ultimately, Az Yasher Moshe Bnei Yisrael, the Shiras Hayom, we were the biggest simcha and the biggest shira, the biggest freedom came through water. So the darkness turned into light. Same concept. The darkness turned into light. And the matzah, which was the symbol of slavery, so the symbol of slavery turned into the symbol of freedom. So that's basically been the theme over here of the symbol of that darkness is the actual raw material of light. The person has some kind of a dark period in their life. You know, it's easy to say it gets worse before it gets better, but it seems to get worse a lot longer than it does getting better. You know.
Is that also what happened to Hashanah?
I tell you something else. I was just thinking about yesterday, just before we get. I want to take this one step further, but is Parshas Hazria Metzorah, so a tzaras. So it's a very interesting thing with the tzaras, because what happens here? A person gets up in the morning and looks at their what the heck is this thing? What's going on here? What do I have here? So, goes and try washes it and doesn't come off. It doesn't know what it is. Amok mina or. It's a little bit deeper than the skin. So he goes to the doctor. What do you do? He sees your eyes, goes to the doctor. The doctor says, I got to tell you, this is not a skin disease. This is something else. You better see a Kohen. Yeah, the guy says, "Look, I was fine last night. this couldn't be anything too serious." He goes, "But there it is," and he goes to the Kohen, and the Kohen looks at it. I don't know. It looks like it might be the beginning of a tzaras. You got to watch it for a bit, watches it. He says, "If it turns, if it goes away, it goes away. If it turns red, okay, but if it starts turning white, then you have some real tumma going on here. You got some serious tummy." Tumma problems, so what's with the colors, so it's an interesting thing. So okay, it turns a little bit white, he keeps looking at it, gets up 3-4 times during the night. turns a little bit white, look white, a little bit white. If it becomes white, Faheres, Mameres, there's different types of white. So Tamehu, if it turns more white, so the halach is that he becomes more tamei. In other words, thank you so much. He becomes more tamei, and the whiter it becomes, this is the white in the world of Tazria Metzora in these 2 weeks parshas. Because it's confusing to read it, but if you read it, you'll see that the whiter it is, the worse the shape you're in from a tamei point of view. And then the Torah makes this astonishing statement of havach kulei lavan. Hafach kulay lavan. Let's say the whole thing turns white. Oh my gosh, right? Whole thing turns white. So then the halach, like if it's red, it's tahar. It gets a little bit white, it's tamei. A little more white, more tamei. More tamei, more tamei. More white, the more tamei. And then the whole thing turned white. So since the whole thing turned white, tahar hu.
The whole thing itself, I thought it was your whole body.
No. The tzaras, hafach kulei lavan. The tzaras that you're looking at turns completely white. Your tar. So here's the white. What? You understand where I'm going here?
Yeah.
Here's the tzimin of tuma is white, and the more white, the worse it is. All of a sudden, hafach kulei lavan. So it's completely tahar. That's the tzimin of tahara. So the Gemara says from here we see a drasha. From here we see a drasha that ain ben David ba, that Mashiach is not going to come, acha hafach kol ha medinos laminos, until all the medina becomes apokarsim. Here we are. Here we are. Right? We're here.
Where's the ben David net?
Huh?
Where's that?
right there in the Chumash. Hafach kulei lavan, when the tuma becomes so strong that it becomes completely apokarsim, that's when the Yeshua comes and Mashiach comes.
I gotta leave then.
Doesn't that make any sense at all?
But it starts getting better though, then it's coming again.
Starts getting better, it's coming again. So you gotta make sure. Right. Yeah, we don't have to be apokarsim. You know, the Brisk Rabbis are like this, that Mashiach's gonna come when the generation's either Kulei Zakai or Kulei Chayim. Either we're all tzaddikim, or we're all Rishayim. So the Brisk Rav asked, what does that mean? So we got to be. There's no chance of everybody becoming tzaddikim. He was a bit pessimist. So those would be. We're going to have to become Rishayim in order for Mashiach to come. What, to make everybody Rishayim? It's a theory. So the Brisk Rav said a brilliant pshat, like as the Brisk Rav tends to do. He said the pshat is not that the whole generation is going to become either tzaddikim or Rishayim. Everybody's going to become either a Kulei Zakai or a Kulei Chayim.
Oh.
It's going to become a polarized society. That's what Mashiach said.
Very close.
Take your side. You want to be a tzaddik or a Rasha. These defense sitters will be no more. You know, it's a very interesting that.
What are the two?
It's very, very interesting. The United States of America, you know, like the Orthodox movement is booming, and the Reform movement is booming, and the Conservative movement is dying.
Yeah.
There's literally dying. I mean, you know, every day you read, I read their stuff. You know, every day there's another article about, like, what are we going to do? We can't get a minion. We can't, you know, so either they're becoming from or they're becoming not from. Like, there's only two ways to go. There's no room for this stuff.
They're becoming from because they're becoming less Jewish.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Reform's like from because they're becoming less Jewish.
Reform, anyways, I don't mean that the Reform or Rishayim, the Orthodox, that's the thing. I'm just like it's a muscle. Like, it's an interesting thing. So that's a Brisk Rav said, either one way or the other.
Wow.
Okay, so let's get back to the point over here. Cool. So here, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a Gevaldika thing. Listen to this. Listen to this, like, this is probably the deepest thing I ever said. this really. Mitzora, everybody says, comes from the word, what?
Sure.
No, how do you get Metzora from Motzi Shemra? That's what everybody says, right? You know, you're Motzi Shemra Metzora. So I looked at this. Everyone says that from the Avera of Lashon Hara, Motzi Shemra. So that's how you get Saras. That's the Avera comes from Metzora Motzi Shemra. So I always found this a little bit curious because it doesn't say Mitzor Shemra. It says Metzora. Like, where's that Shem come in? Right. So I looked in the source of this. And the source is not Motzi Shemra, the source is Motzi Ra. That's what it says. Mitzora, Motzi Ra. Works a little better, right?
Yeah.
Motzi Ra. Motzi Ra. Okay, so Motzi Ra, you're the one, you're emitting negativity. Right? Emitting negativity, Motzi Ra. Which would include in there Motzi Shemra, which is the ultimate in emitting negativity via verbal criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Motzi Ra, you're going to miss the deepest thing in the world here. Motzi Ra, thank you. Motzi Ra, you know, here's what I think. It's just a theory, but I think this is true. If you you know, sometimes, you know, a person has a, I'll tell you like a Gevaldika story, just really Gevaldika thing. Somebody told me, an Australian guy told me, that he came to Los Angeles to work as an architect, lives here in Yerushalayim now. This is a very real guy, very straight guy, very, if he tells the story, it is. So he came to Australia, he came to Los Angeles from Australia to get a job as an architect, and every night he developed these hives.
Wow.
Okay, so like he's allergic to something, whatever, you know, only at night. So something about LA. So he didn't know what to do. So he went to a doctor, a dermatologist, and the dermatologist gave him some antihistamine, Benadryl, and stuff like that. So started helping. Then his body adjusted to the Benadryl, and he started getting the hives again. And then he started getting the hives like during the day, and he would get these big blotches, and he couldn't go to work, and it was a whole thing. And he went from this doctor to that doctor, and this medicine, that medicine. You know, so somebody told him that he should go to, he was like really plagued with these hives. He was totally disabled with these unbelievable high, very uncomfortable, looked horrible. So somebody told him that there's a certain acupuncturist that he should go to. Okay, cool. So he goes to an acupuncturist. So he doesn't know if he believes in acupuncture or not. You know, we're not sure about our belief in this. So he goes to this acupuncturist. They have like really great results sometimes for some people, his acupuncturist. So he goes to his acupuncturist, and you know, it was a Chinese guy. Oh yes, you have hives. So he goes and he sits there, and he sits them down in this chair, and he puts a bunch of needles here and a bunch of needles there and a bunch of needles here. So he said he commented to me that he was surprised, couldn't feel anything. He didn't, like, he was expecting it to hurt, didn't hurt at all. And he's sitting there in this chair, and there's a big clock in front of him, and the guy says to him, I'll come back. This has to stay like this for 5 minutes. I'll come back in 5 minutes. And so he, okay. So he's sitting there for 5 minutes. You know, with these needles all over him, felt like a voodoo doll. You know, he's sitting there. He says about a minute into this 5 minutes, he says the thing starts to tingle. You know, like, and about 2 minutes into it, it starts to hurt. He says by 4 minutes, he was screaming in pain. Wherever these needles were screaming, he said he was screaming, and he didn't. I'm taking him out, and the guy comes in, the Chinese guy comes in, he looks at him, and the guy's screaming, you know, like, the guy's good, good, very good. like the last minute felt like a century, like described to him, like it was unbelievable pain. He came in, and the guy told him, he said, okay, he said, I think we fixed you up. He says, you have somewhere in your body an infection, and somewhere or another in your body, it will be released within 24 hours. Okay, so he goes home and tries to recover from this, acupuncturist experience, and doesn't think about it too much. 10 o'clock at night, he describes to me, he gets a dull toothache. All right. 11 o'clock at night, it's more than a dull toothache. By 2 o'clock in the morning, he's going to the Los Angeles Yellow Pages trying to find a dentist that's open. At 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, he's in such unbelievable pain. And finally, at 5 o'clock in the morning, he gets to some dentist or another, and the guy starts yelling at him. He says, you have an abscess here that you should have taken care of. This must have been going on for weeks and weeks. You know, why don't you take care of it? He says, nothing, I didn't have anything until tonight. Impossible. Anyways, he gets rid of the abscess. Never had hives again. So, like, cool story, right? Maisa Shahaya. So,
Wow.
That's okay. But I'm not telling you a story about acupuncture. What I'm saying is that here's the thing with psoriasis, as far as I know. Let's start with a skin disease, a real skin disease. Like, sometimes what you don't see is worse than what you do see. Because what you don't see is, like, you know, a person feels weak and has running a fever, you know, like, so you say, well, check, do you have an infection? Look, you know, do a complete body check, you know, is there something wrong? Like, let's find out what is that's causing. You don't see anything. All of a sudden, you see something pop, right? Something is showing. So you say, okay, Baruch Hashem, you know, like, at least we've sort of located the area of infection, right? You see some kind of a rash breakout. So, okay, you got the rash. The rash gets worse. Okay, you're in worse shape. You're really infected. And all of a sudden, poof, it's really horrible. Like, it's really ugly. It's really horrible. The fever breaks. So what happens is that this infection has to be released from the body. And as it's released from the body, it's the most horrible, ugly, despicable thing. But that is the good thing, because it's not in here. It's out there, right? By the way, I have no idea if what I'm saying is true medically, so I'm glad I'm finished with the medical part of it. I missed my whole acupuncture speech. But here's the thing with saras. It's like really, unbelievably deep. A person has a spiritual illness, and it's very, very deep within me. And I don't even know how to identify it. I don't know where it is, and I don't know what it is. I just, you know, you just don't feel like I'm having the tahara. You know, there's such a thing. You know, a very, very chashuv rav told me that he was involved in burying. I'm just to freak you out a little bit over here. He lived in São Paulo,
Brazil,
in South America, and a lot of people were unburying their dead from there and moving them to Israel, because the Jewish community was completely dying, so they had some kind of mattress. So this Rav was over, Beck his name was, he was overseeing this procedure. Very, very hush of a person. So he said that one day he came back and he said he just doesn't feel good. He feels like doesn't feel like he couldn't learn, he couldn't daven, he just doesn't feel good. So Chassidus Rav, what do you do when you don't feel good? He went to the mikveh. Okay. Went to the mikveh, he still didn't feel good. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, he calls his sons, two sons over. He says, come with me. He goes to the cemetery. He says, something is wrong. I did something wrong. So he goes to the cemetery. And sure enough, there was they had again. I don't want to freak you out, but they had there was a body part left that they hadn't taken out. You know, so he felt this you know, tumma. There's such a thing as you know. But sometimes you can feel something and not know how to identify it. You don't know what it is. So okay, so now comes the tsaras. And the tsaras shows on your skin, and what this is the unidentified tumma, which comes from whatever avera or whatever negativity is within me, starting to come out. It's starting to come out, and it's ugly when it comes out. And the whiter it is, the more simen of tumma. That's what the Torah says. The whiter it is, the more simen of the spiritual illness exists in me. And then there's such a thing as hafach kulei lavan, that if the whole thing turns white, so that means, as horrible as it is, and that's the biggest simon of tumma, as horrible as it is, it means it's out of my system.
Wow.
That's the shot. It means it's out of my system. So mitzora doesn't mean motzi shem ra. Mitzora means motzi ra. Taking the ra, and it's exuding from my neshama, coming out in a physical manifestation.
Wow.
So there's such a concept. So when you talk about sometimes the Ein Ben David Ba, the Gemara says the Mashiach is not going to come Achafa Kol Amadina Lamidus until everybody becomes Apokarsim. The Pshat is like there's a certain concept of getting the Apokarsis out of our system. Out of the collective national system of the Jewish people. We've been sitting with this stuff for, you know, sometimes, that's what I said before, like, sometimes you can be in a therapeutic situation, and people immediately, I know statistics on this, but often, I know, in a therapeutic situation, you know, if a person goes, let's say you're going to go for 10 sessions to therapy, so sometimes at the fourth or fifth session, person quits. Why do they quit? Because it got worse. Situation got worse because a therapist will tell you that if the therapy is working, if psychological therapy, it will get worse before it gets better, because all of a sudden you've identified the things that have been like hidden and dormant inside of me for years, and all of a sudden I've stirred them up, and they, when you stir things up, they start to show, and all of a sudden it starts coming out, and you become there's a big low. I mean, it's a psychological fact, but there's a big low before the high. And this is true in almost every aspect of life. But when you think about it deeply, the low part is really the beginning of the Yeshua. So it's not like, okay, you got to endure this. You do have to endure it. But the low part, in other words, the beginnings of the tsaras is actually a good simon. It's not a bad simon, because you need a cheerleader saying, get worse, get worse, get worse, because the worse it gets, the better it gets. That's where you find, this is really the pshat in the fact that the Mitzrayim, the Geula of Mitzrayim, had to be preceded by the Golus Mitzrayim. Had to have the slavery, had to have the assimilation, had to actually climb down 49 steps of Tumah. You had to do it in order to be able to rise. If we would have stopped at the 20th Shar HaTumah, or the 10th, or we wouldn't have become Tumah at all, there wouldn't have been this great explosion of goodness, of getting that Memtesh Shari Tumah out of our system. Just like a Mitzvah, the Memtesh Shari Tumah had to get out of our system. And that's why, this is the deeper pshat, and why Matzah, which was the symbol of slavery, that in itself became the symbol of freedom. Simple afraid slavery begins. So let me leave you with this idea, a word for the Seder. When if you there's two ways to produce energy. One of them, there's two ways to cook. You can put a pot of soup on the stove, cook it, and gets hot and cooks and takes an hour and a half. Another way you can do it is in a pressure cooker. So what happens in a pressure cooker is that you're creating more pressure, not letting any heat out. It gets hot and hot and hot. When you open up the pressure cooker, you know, you got to be very careful. A little screw on top. You know, if you would just open it up like this, it would explode. Right. So there's a kinetic energy that goes into bomb making, which where you take like the normal, and this is basic Einsteinian physics, where you take the energy which is all out there anyway, and you harness the energy and make it more and more concentrated, more and more concentrated, and then what would happen is that it would explode into major explosions. Basic mechanism of a bomb. You know, you're taking things that are there anyway that wouldn't cause such an explosion, but by concentrating. So this, in Kabbalistic language, is called the Bechinas HaTzimtzum. So Tzimtzum means concentration and restriction and creating a boundary and not letting that which is inside and being toseis, not letting it go out until the right moment. So the Zohar says a fascinating thing. It says the matzah, as opposed to bread, represents the Bechinas HaTzimtzum. What's matzah? We don't let it rise. Bread, it'll rise. It'll rise 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches. It'll become whatever it becomes. But the matzah, no. You know, save this as well. You keep on knocking it down so that it can't rise. The symbol of freedom. It's interesting. The symbol of freedom is the symbol of tzimtzum. That was the tzimtzum of Mitzrayim. We ate matzah because we were slaves. Holach ma'anya. Yeah, this was the bread of affliction. But it was that symptom itself, that restriction, that what was the other word we were using before? That concentration, that
contraction.
That idea of limitation, which actually allowed for the explosion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where it was Oz Yasher, the words of the Zohar, Oz Yasher, Moshe of Israel, Sashir, Oz, all of a sudden everybody, waxed prolific and poetic and nevuah and prophetic. Why? Because of the symptom that was taking place. So if not for that symptom, there wouldn't be that guy. So here's a nice little part for the Seder with the Seder. When you concentrate energy, then when you release the energy, take the cap off the energy, boom, out comes whatever was inside. So the Jews for 210 years are represented by the matzah. And you see it. You put three matzahs: Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Right? The Jews are represented by the matzah. So we're restricted and we're concentrated and we're contracted and we're not allowed to. Our energy is not allowed to go out for 210 years. Here we are. Think about it in real terms. Here we are. We're not able to express ourselves. We're slaves. Mm-hmm. A slave can't express himself. They can't do what their neshama is telling them to do. For a couple of hundred years, we couldn't do what our neshama was telling us to do. We couldn't do what our conscience was telling us to do. Couldn't do what our hearts were telling us to do. We were stuck. We were slaves. We didn't have our own thinking. Okay, all of a sudden we're free. All of a sudden we're free. We cross the Yam Suf, the Egyptians get drowned, and we're free. So what comes out when a Jew goes free? After 210 years of being held back, you know,
everything
comes out. So, and it looks like what? So on the one hand, you know, complaining about this and questioning about that, with the pickles over here in the desert and the sardines are not like they were in Egypt. But like on the one hand comes out a lot of, you know, like, what do you mean? You were a slave for 200 years. out comes also a tremendous amount of chesed. You know, and out comes chesed. So you look in the Chumash, you'll see the chesed. But I just want to say this thing that here's the sequence in the Haggadah. Holach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. The achlu avasana ba'arad Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate not when they went out of Egypt, but they ate when they were in Egypt. Right. This is the bread of affliction that we ate when we were in Egypt. Now what about it? Kol dichven yeseh v'yechol. Whoever's hungry, let him come and eat. What's the connection? Whoever is needy, let him come and celebrate Pesach with us. Kol dichven yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yivsach. The pshat is,
that when a Jew explodes into chesed. And the first explosion, in other words, the freedom that we have, as soon as we have freedom after restriction, it's to do chesed for everybody that's around us, almost a wild type of a chesed. Open up your house, open up everything, let's open up. Look at, it's just an amazing, always amazes me. You look at, if you go to Manhattan, you see skyscrapers, this business, that business, this insurance company, this investment company, the shtickle skyscrapers that you see here in Yerushalayim, the buildings that went up is what? A gemach for wheelchairs, yeshiva for special kids. I mean, you look at the buildings, this is where the energy went. The energy all went, and people are living in these tiny little apartments, and the organizations are flowing. This is an explosion of chesed that took place post the Holocaust. Same thing in the United States and the Jewish community. It was an unbelievable explosion. So the nekuda is that it all comes from the Lila. The Lila is what creates the Yom. The Lila was what creates the Yom. The Holocaust, as horrible as it was, that's what created the Torah, the yeshivas. Vayera vayiboker. That's the way Hashem created it. So that's the symbol of the matzah. That's the halach mani. That's the paragraph. Okay.